Girlfriends, episode number 373, How to Overcome Anxiety. Hello and welcome to Girlfriends. I'm Danielle Bean. I'm a wife and a mom, and I'm on a mission to help you know your worth as a woman so you can find peace, balance, and joy in family living. This week, we are talking about ways to overcome anxiety. We all need this at some point in our lives. I can't wait to dive into this important conversation. Let's get going. Hey, girlfriend. Thank you so much for being here. Thanks for being a part of this newest episode of the Girlfriends Podcast. Before we dive into this week's topic on anxiety, I want to just say thank you to those of you who joined me in the recent online retreat that we had through Good Catholic, A Heart Like Mary's, together with Father Edward Looney. I was delighted to be able to connect with a lot of you and to share about what we can learn from Mary's example of virtue. So super excited to have that opportunity and really looking forward to future ways that we can connect through the good things that are going on over there at Good Catholic. You know, whenever there's an event like that, you're just kind of wondering, like, how authentic can this feel? How much of a connection can it really be? You know, kind of using different forms of technology. And I've pretty much used all the things, right? All the different ways of connecting with people. And this particular event, I thought, really had a real feel of connection with people. And that was because of the people who were present. Like, if you were there, you were part of that. You were part of that reason. And it was really like people in the chat were just connecting with each other, ministering to each other, answering each other's questions. There was such a sense of community there. And I found that so encouraging. So be looking for future similar events. And speaking of connecting with people in authentic ways through technology, I want to be sure to mention an upcoming project that's new from Ascension. There's an Ascension app. It's not quite available yet, but you can go to ascensionpress.com/app to learn more about it. But, you know, basically there's going to be access to all of your favorite things like Father Mike Schmidt's homilies, like Catechism in a Year podcast, the Bible in a Year podcast, just access to those texts, the Bible and the Catechism, in ways that you can just have right in your hand, on your phone, in your pocket. Really exceptional content that they're putting together over there. So if you want to be among the first who are going to be invited to try that new app, it's going to be coming out later this summer. You can go over to ascensionpress.com/app and you can get all the information there. You can sign up, give them your email, and they will let you know as soon as you are able to download and begin using that app. I'm really looking forward to the good things that are coming from Ascension this summer. All right, now to dive into this week's content. Talking about anxiety, this is something that comes up time and again, whether you call it anxiety or just worry, like we all struggle with this sometimes. And I think this is something that we should visit regularly here, because at different stages in our life, whatever it is you're going through, we're all kind of tempted to do the opposite of trusting in God, do the opposite of what Jesus invites us to do, which is leaning on God, trusting in the goodness of God, trusting in his providence. But it's very human to struggle with that. Like, you may be facing a difficult health diagnosis, or someone you love is, or you're going through, you know, a crisis in your marriage or in your parenting, or you're, you know, making major life changes and decisions that can bring about great anxiety, or maybe you're grieving the loss of something or someone in your life. Like, these are things that can cause us anxiety, and it's okay. Like, I think sometimes we get worried because, you know, God tells us, Jesus tells us time and again, do not worry, do not be afraid. And yet it's very human. And I like to focus on, rather than, he tells us this so many times and yet here I am feeling anxious again, just, he tells us this so many times because this is part of the human condition, this temptation to be anxious, to suffer anxiety, to be worried about things. But what we need is a reality check, a check-in with God, a check-in with what is true in order to kind of overcome this. So, you know, if you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling worried, don't add to your worries or your burdens by beating yourself up for feeling anxious or feeling worried. Like, let's talk about some ways that we can kind of address that. And when we're talking about anxiety, especially those times in our life where we might feel anxious and it feels like God is really far away, or we feel like we're praying and praying and praying over something that we're very worried about, and God feels just kind of silent, that can be very discouraging. And the temptation is to think that he doesn't care or that he's not present to us in those moments. So I want to talk about that a little bit. But when we're talking about anxiety or worry in terms of feeling like God doesn't care or that he's far away from us, the one story from the Gospels that always comes to mind is the one where Jesus is asleep in the boat during a storm. And this is from Mark chapter 4. I'm just going to read the little description here and we can talk about it. It says, "On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side.' And leaving the crowd, they took him with them, just as he was in the boat. And other boats were with him. And a great storm of wind arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care if we perish?' And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, 'Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?' And they were filled with awe and said to one another, 'Who then is this that even wind and sea obey him?'" Okay, there's just so much there, right? Like when we're reading the gospel stories, I find it really helpful to kind of envision it in great detail, like what it must have felt like, what it smelled like, what it sounded like, that to really experience that moment in the boat. And it's a moment of complete anxiety and terror, right? It says that the boat was already filling up with water. Like they felt like they were going to sink. And then contrast that with Jesus's response, which is sleeping through it. And imagine how frustrating that would be in that moment. And so you can certainly understand why his disciples woke him up and said, "Do you not care if we perish? Like, wake up. How can you be asleep right now?" You know, we recently had a situation here at our house where in the middle of the night, there was a guy who lives on our road, and he's kind of a known drug user, and I don't know what his situation was. We don't really know him personally, but at 2:30 in the morning, he was like at our house and knocking on the outside of our house, not just on the door, but like just being super weird, right? So we called the cops and everything. There was this big, you know, thing where he came and he got picked up. And anyway, that does not regularly happen here, but it was a moment of great anxiety for me. And I was very worried about it in the moment. And I remember at the time, Dan and I both woke up and when this happened, and our son, our youngest, who is in the bedroom adjacent to ours, woke up as well. But there were three other kids here who just slept through the entire thing. And I remember thinking, like, how can they sleep through this? Like, this is crazy. But so even more so in this situation, in this gospel story that we just read from Mark, when there's a storm and they're in the middle of the sea and there's wind and there's rain and the waves are beating on the boat and the boat is filling with water and Jesus is asleep in that very boat. Like, imagine that. And how frustrating that would be, and also how confusing that would be. How can you possibly be sleeping? And so we can definitely understand, we can very much relate to their very human response of waking Jesus and saying, "Do you not care if we perish?" And how many times is that our prayer? How many times do we go to God? And you may not use those exact words, but that's the feeling. Where are you? Do you not care? Do you not see what is happening? This is the millionth time I'm bringing this prayer request to you and feeling like there's no answer. And so sometimes we feel that. We feel very frustrated. And in some sense, we can feel like God is asleep in our lives. And yet this gospel passage very much reassures us that he is present and he knows exactly what's going on, even if it looks like he's sleeping. You know, so then imagine the drama of the scene then when he wakes up and he just says, "Peace, be still." And the wind stops, the rain stops. And then we read, "There was a great calm." Then all of a sudden you feel kind of foolish, like, oh, I guess we were overreacting, right? Like, and then to make matters worse, he says, "Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" And Jesus does this so many times in the Gospels. You know, he asks questions, and I love to think about like the gentle way he asks these questions, which are always inviting us into a deeper relationship with him, always kind of challenging us, you know, where he's, you know, correcting Martha, where he says her name two times when he corrects her and says, you're busy and distracted with many things. Martha, Martha. Right? He speaks to us in that same way. And that is how I feel like he's speaking to the disciples here. Why are you afraid? Why? And he asks these kinds of questions knowing full well, you know, he knows us in and out. He knows what's going on. He knows our fears and our anxieties. But whatever it is that you're feeling anxiety over or that you are tempted to be worried about, kind of spiral downward into anxiety and fretting over, I want you to picture yourself in this gospel story. Picture your problem as the storm. Picture your prayer as saying, "Teacher, do you not care if I perish?" And then picture our Lord's beautiful, loving, gentle response to you. "Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" And their response again is, then they're filled with awe. So many times in scripture, Jesus is telling us, be not afraid. Don't be afraid. Do not fear. Have no anxiety. Do not worry. Why are you afraid? So many times. And so many times our human response is that prayer, that brazen prayer. Do you not care? Right? I see this as sort of an ongoing back and forth between human beings and God, where we're saying, do you not care? And God is continually, lovingly, gently reminding us, I'm here, I'm present. Have no fear. Why are you afraid? Do not worry. And you know what else I find really encouraging is when we're reading these gospel stories, even Mary, our Blessed Mother, had these very human responses to moments of anxiety and fear and worry sometimes. You know, when the angel came to her, he told her, don't be afraid, you found great favor with God. But he told her this because this would be her normal human reaction, being afraid. And then the other story in the Gospels that I love to look at with regard to Mary's response is the finding of Jesus in the temple when Jesus was lost, right? When Joseph and Mary, through very human miscommunication with one another. How many of us can relate to this? Like, I thought you had him. No, I thought he was with you. This is how we forget our children in parking lots, right? This is how this happens. And the Holy Family was no different. They were subject to this. This happened. So through this miscommunication, very human, but very, you know, flawed, they lose track of where Jesus is. And then they spend 3 days kind of retracing their steps and going back and looking for him. And we can only imagine just how anxiety producing that would be for Mary, the mother of God, who has lost not just any child, but the Son of God, the Messiah. She knows this is a special child she has been entrusted with. So imagine how she must have been feeling during those 3 days of searching. 3 days. And then this is the part that I love. When they do find Jesus in the temple, they're astonished at finding him there, first of all, but also astonished at his response, because Mary, and this is what I love to focus on, in her very human response, goes to him and says, "Why have you treated us so? We've been looking for you with great anxiety." This is very human, and she's just being honest and presenting herself to the Lord. "Why have you treated us so? Don't understand." And if that's where you are, in your situation of anxiety or whatever it is you're worried about right now, it's okay to be there because our Blessed Mother shows us it's very human. It's not okay to be rejecting God or to hold on to bitterness or anger toward God, which she's not doing here. She's asking, she wants to know, she's confused. She doesn't understand. Why have you treated us so? And if you are confused and you don't understand, it is perfectly good to go to God with that prayer. Why have you treated us so? Why is this happening? I don't understand. But like Mary, we need to be seeking to understand. We need to be searching for God during those times when he seems to be asleep. We can be shaking him awake. That's part of what he's hoping to get out of us, right? Is that looking to connect with him. Maybe even being dramatic about our looking to connect with him. He wants that. He wants us to be longing for him, seeking him, desiring him. And sometimes he'll allow us to be in uncomfortable situations, sometimes for much longer than we ever would choose to be, for our own good. And so Mary was no different. And this gives me great encouragement to know that she too was struggling to understand. And that day, after they found Jesus in the temple, you know, we read in the scriptures that Joseph and Mary were astonished. That word astonished. And sometimes we're astonished because we don't understand. And they did not understand. And yet there comes that little phrase that Mary reflected on these things in her heart. That same phrase that we read at the Nativity, where Mary is holding baby Jesus and all this whirlwind of activity and drama is happening all around her, but she's focused on that relationship with our Lord, keeping these things and reflecting on them in her heart. And here, in a difficult circumstance, she also is keeping things and reflecting on them in her heart, pondering these things, some translations tell us, pondering these things in her heart. She's seeking to understand, but she's not there yet. And so if you don't understand, if you are tempted toward worry and anxiety in your life over finances, over health, over work, over relationships, perfectly okay to go to our Lord and say, "Do you not care if I perish?" Picture yourself in that storm. Or as Mary did, "Why have you treated me so? Why is this happening?" You can ask these questions. Bring your confusion, your frustration, your bewilderment, bring it all to God. And then seek to understand. Ponder these things in your heart as Mary did, not rejecting God's will because she doesn't understand it, but accepting that sometimes God's will is beyond our understanding for a time. For a period of time, it's sometimes like that. And there are some things maybe we won't understand until the next life. But see Mary's patience there. Such a beautiful example of patience and acceptance in the face of not knowing what's going on. Because sometimes I think, and this is very human, but something we need to work on, we want to know how everything's going to work out. Like, "Oh Lord, I will trust that all things are going to work together for my good. If I can just see the plan, right? If you can just show me the plan, I will trust in you. If you can just show me how it's all going to work out for my good, okay, fine. I will accept your will. I will trust in even a difficult circumstance." And yet God asks us to trust without seeing the plan, as Mary did, not knowing all the details, not knowing how it's all going to work out, searching, seeking, always seeking understanding, pondering these things, reflecting on these things. Just, it's a very interior process. And I love to think about Our Lady doing that as an example to all of us. Whatever it is you're struggling with, whatever kind of anxiety you're tempted toward. All right, those were just some kind of scriptural kind of ground setting for what I want to talk about here. I've just got some practical things I want to mention for if you're struggling with anxiety right now. So we've done other shows on anxiety, and I do want to mention this. Like, there is clinical anxiety. Like there sometimes are, you know, things that need to be addressed in a medical sense that maybe if you are really struggling with a lot of anxiety over things in ways that are affecting your day-to-day life, you can't live your life the way that you want to because of anxiety, then perhaps that's something that needs intervention, whether it's with counseling or medication, or like you might want to seek help from a healthcare professional but that's not what I'm talking about here. Like, this is like everyday kind of worries and anxieties that we're kind of tempted toward. And then the other part I want to mention is a lot of times there are physical things that we can do that can kind of offset anxiety. Anxiety is a physical thing sometimes, whether it's looking at your caffeine intake, looking at how much and how well you're sleeping, looking at, you know, how much news you're taking in, and that could be producing anxiety in your life. So that's a separate conversation as well. And we've dealt with that in other episodes focused on anxiety. But I just want to talk maybe more in a spiritual sense of like where we can go, or things that we can do in order to deal with anxiety in a spiritual way. So the first one is a no-brainer, but it's one that we must say and talk about a little bit, is show up in prayer. So we did a whole show once about the secret value of showing up. I forget what I called it. But this idea of showing up in our lives, showing up for the people in our lives, showing up for our work, showing up for our relationships, but showing up for God. Like showing up in prayer. And so sometimes when we're tempted to be anxious over something, and we know, like, I need to be praying, I need to be bringing this to God, those are sometimes when we're almost tempted to skip over prayer because we're like, well, you know, we're in that place of thinking, do you not care, right? So maybe we're going to cross it off because it seems like a waste of time. But just showing up, even if you're not feeling this tremendous consolation of God's presence and the way that God is acting in your life, that really can bear a lot of fruit, that kind of faithfulness that we can have in daily prayer. Just showing up in our prayers and saying, Lord, I don't know what's going on here. I don't feel your presence here. I don't understand what you're working in my life, but just showing up again and again, kind of like that idea of saying the words and longing and praying to believe them. Like, I trust in you, Lord, help me to trust in you more. Or I do believe, Lord, help my unbelief. You know, accepting where you are, going to him, wherever you are, whatever emotional place you might find yourself struggling to understand what's going on in your life, just making sure you're making that time to show up in prayer, not giving into temptation to cross it off your list because it feels like it's not a fruitful thing to be doing right now. So making sure more than other times in your life that you have that time set aside daily for prayer. And I understand everybody's busy. You've got a lot going on. But if you're not making prayer a daily priority, if you're not making sure that you have time for quiet prayer in your life, whatever that looks like for you, you know, 10 or 15 minutes in the morning or during your lunch break or before you go to bed, like looking at your schedule and making sure that you have that time to show up in prayer. Because oftentimes the anxiety comes from feeling like we have to do everything ourselves. And this, you know, being separated from God by not being connected with God in prayer, not reminding yourself of the primacy of that relationship with your Creator, you're going to fall prey to this idea that you're in this alone. And that you have to figure this out all on your own. But we need God's grace for every good thing we might ever do, everything we might ever accomplish, every good thing we want to have happen in our lives. We're dependent upon God's grace for these things. So showing up in prayer, making sure that you are doing that, especially during a time of anxiety. The second thing I want to mention is to keep seeking. In the gospel story we were just talking about where Mary is looking for Jesus, she sought him for 3 days. And so let's think about that. That's kind of symbolic of like looking for God, seeking God, searching for God, sometimes in great anxiety. We're very worried and we need him so desperately and we don't know where he is and we're not sure how to connect with him. And he feels like he might be far away, even in the midst of great anxiety, to keep seeking, to be persistent. To keep seeking God, you know, maybe make it your prayer like, Lord, show me where you're present in my life. Because sometimes God is sending you the help that you need, the grace that you need, but you're not seeing it because you don't expect it to look like that. Maybe it's a person in your life. Maybe it's a relationship in your life. Maybe it's a work opportunity in your life or a friend for you to connect with that is going to be a source of that help, that source of God's grace in your life. But you're expecting it to look like something else. You're expecting it to look like, oh, that job offer is going to come through, or this health issue is going to disappear, or this relationship stressor is going to just somehow magically resolve itself. But, you know, maybe God is providing resources through the people in your life or opportunities in your life, and you're not seeing that he's answering your prayer in those ways. So keep seeking and open your eyes to some of the new ways. Some of the different ways, some of the ways that might not look like what you're expecting, that God might already be present and be answering that prayer already. So keep seeking. The third thing I want to recommend that you do is to ask others to pray for you. This is so powerful. Like, we are not meant to go through this life alone. Like, no man is an island, no woman is an island. We're all, of course, as we said, dependent upon the grace of God, but we're part of a communion of saints. You know, this is a beautiful gift in our church. So for sure, you can be praying to the saints and asking the saints to be praying for you. Maybe there's one that's a patron saint of, you know, something related to what you're feeling anxious about. That's a great way to kind of connect with a saint. If you don't know which one, maybe researching a little bit the lives of the saints and finding one that you can relate to, reading the lives of the saints related to whatever issue it is that you're kind of concerned about in your life can be a great source of encouragement and consolation, understanding that others have kind of walked this path before you and seeing the way that God worked that for good in their life, I think can be very encouraging. So keep seeking and ask others to pray for you. So also ask others in your life to pray for you. This is a powerful thing because I know for me, the times in my life where I've been very anxious or very worried about things or, you know, dealing with something very stressful are times in my life where I find it really difficult to pray. It's actually really hard to pray during those times. Sometimes I found myself going to like my daily prayer time and feeling like, I got nothing. Like, Lord, I've got nothing. I don't have any fancy words to say. I don't have any way that I can eloquently express how I'm feeling. I can say the words that I normally say during this prayer time, but I'm not feeling any of it. And that can be very discouraging. So it can be very powerful to ask others to kind of lift you up during that time. One Bible story that I think really applies here is in Exodus when we read about how Moses is praying for the Israelites, right, to be successful in battle against their enemies. And we read that whenever Moses held up his hand, the Israelites succeeded in battle. But whenever he lowered his hand, they lost. And so Moses was keeping his hands up, right, so that they would win. And this is always like, you know, this is such a basic kind of simple story here. So Moses is holding up his hands because the Israelites prevail in battle whenever he's doing that. And yet when he puts them down, they lose. So he's holding up his hands. But then we read that Moses's hands grew weary. So they put a stone. They took a stone and put it under him, and he sat upon it. And Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Like, this is just such a very physical, simple story that I think has parallels in our everyday lives as Christians, where we need help, we need support. Like, we can know the right thing to do, but we need others' help to be able to do it. And God can accomplish great things through us, but not through our own work alone. Like, we need to be working together, and we grow weary. Moses's hands grew weary. We grow weary. And that's when it's tempting to, you know, spiral downward with anxiety or worry and kind of reject these, you know, these things that we know are true, that God is going to provide for us, that we can trust in God, that God is good and that he loves us and he wants to provide us every good thing. We can know those things are true, but in the moment we're weak, we grow weary, and we need others to be lifting us up. So, you know, being vulnerable with friends who share your faith, with family members, with your husband, with your parents, with your siblings, you know, the people that God has given you in your life who can be praying with you and for you. So make sure that you're doing that, asking others to pray for you. I think that's a beautiful way to kind of grow in, not only grow in your own trust of God and grow in grace in your life, but to be growing in community with others as God intends you to. All right, the fourth thing I want to mention in a practical way with regard to like what we can do kind of spiritually speaking to address this issue of anxiety in our lives is to give thanks. It's hard to be worried about the future when you are giving thanks for every good thing you have. And when we're worried about a very particular thing, that's when it's tempting to kind of gloss over all of the blessings that we have and kind of take those things for granted. So really being deliberate about giving thanks, about being grateful. You know, you might do this in a very deliberate way, like writing out a list. I think especially when you're tempted to be anxious or worried about something, remembering every good thing that God has given you can be a wonderful way to remind yourself that God does indeed provide you with good things. He does, in fact, take care of you. So making sure you're being grateful. Maybe you do want to write down a list, or maybe you want to just kind of, at least for a time, add it to your daily prayer practice. Like making sure that you're doing a daily examine and looking back through the day and saying, here are the things I'm thankful for. Here are the little consolations that I had. Here are the little tiny ways that I felt God was present to me in this day. And the good thing about this is when you make this a habit, you start to notice things more and more. When you're not making this a habit, you're just focused on the negative, you're focused on what you're lacking or what you're worried about, then it's really difficult to see all of these little blessings, all of these little things that are a great source of joy and consolation, peace, fulfillment, satisfaction, all these things that we want. We can find those things through making a daily practice of gratitude, through making it more of an ongoing everyday habit to be looking for those things that we should be grateful for. Yeah, sure. The big things like, do you have a house to live in? Do you have a car to drive? Do you have people in your life that you love and that love you? You know, do you have a job? These very basic things. But then looking at just even just tiny details of your day that you're grateful for, you know, maybe having a cup of coffee in the morning gives you comfort and gives you joy. Or, you know, maybe just a compliment that someone might pay you, or a connection that you have with a friend, or enjoying the feeling of sunshine on your shoulders, or, you know, just little things that we otherwise might take for granted. Making a real habit of noticing them and being grateful for them has the side effect of making us more aware of them in an ongoing way that leads to a greater sense of happiness and joy in the way that God intends. He loves for us to be grateful. He showers us with so many blessings, and he wants for us to be grateful for them. He's longing for us to give thanks for those things. So in whatever way you can, maybe, you know, something that makes sense for you. Like maybe you have a daily commute and on your commute, you want to make it a habit to think of like three things that I'm grateful for today. Or at the end of your day, kind of praying that daily examine and looking through your day, or, you know, keeping a gratitude journal, writing things down. Maybe you want to write a thank you note on a regular basis to somebody, and, you know, it could be a handwritten thank you note or something more like just making sure at least once a day you send a text to somebody to thank them for something that otherwise you normally wouldn't. Just practicing gratitude can be a real antidote to anxiety because it opens your eyes up. It opens your heart up to recognizing the ways that God is already loving you and caring for you, providing for you in big and small ways. So of course we can trust him with our future. Even if we don't know exactly what he's doing, we can trust him because we know that he loves us and he's caring for us in these ways. All right, the last spiritual kind of practice I want to recommend for you if you're going through a time of anxiety is to read the Psalms. I mean, reading scripture in general, I think, is a good habit for someone who's might be struggling with anxiety. I mean, it's a good habit for everybody, regardless of that. But reading the Psalms is just, there's so many emotions that are present in the Psalms. So over in the Girlfriends community, which is the online community that I've had going, it's coming up almost on a year. I started it last summer, and it's grown into this community of women that we do this daily prayer support, which in the beginning, we went through the Psalms, like one psalm a day, and kind of read it and prayed it and reflected on it together. And now we're going through the book of Proverbs in a similar way. But going through the Psalms in that way, which I had never done previously, really was a beautiful prayer practice because like all of emotions are expressed in the Psalms in beautiful ways and very vivid ways. And they're a continual reminder that All of our emotions are things that we can bring to God, that he can handle all of us. We don't have to like wait until we kind of put ourselves together a little bit before we can present ourselves to God or bring our needs to God. He wants you right now, right how you are, whatever kind of mess you might find yourself in. And a lot of the Psalms are exactly that, like going to God in your mess, in your struggle, in your anxiety, in your fear for the future. And then continuing to read the Psalms, there's, you know, also all the thanksgiving and the joy and the celebration of the goodness of God. So I think it's just a really beautiful practice to kind of read through the Psalms, and you might end up finding one that especially speaks to you. And then it's a really good thing to commit it to memory, at least part of it, at least if the most, you know, the most fitting lines of it. Kind of make it a part of you. Make that scripture a part of you, like embed it in your heart so that you have it as an ongoing source of prayer support. Because when we're feeling great anxiety or when we're tempted toward anxiety, it isn't like a one and done thing like, oh, I'm tempted to be anxious and to worry about this thing and I'm going to choose to pray instead and then it's all set. Or, you know, just say, Jesus, I trust in you, and then you're all set. It's an ongoing thing. You have to continually choose it. We talked about this many episodes ago when we talked about forgiving when it's hard, you know, finding forgiveness, that it's not a one and done thing. And same thing with dealing with anxiety. It's not a one and done. You're not going to overcome it and then you're good for the rest of your life. You have to continually choose it. You're going to continually be tempted toward anxiety, tempted to not trust in the goodness of God. And you're going to have to continually choose to trust in the face of that anxiety, in the face of fear. And so having a small prayer, which, you know, a little piece of scripture is a beautiful way to have that prayer memorized, is a great tool to have. Or even just a little two-line prayer like, Jesus, I trust in you. You know, Sacred Heart of Jesus, I place all my trust in you. Lord, come to my assistance. Make haste to help me. Some of these like little one-liners or two-liners that you can have as a go-to and reminding yourself of the goodness of God and just continually rejecting that temptation. And I think it's important to think about it as a temptation. It's and sometimes we're tempted to kind of brush that off like, oh, it's not, you know, it's not a temptation to worry. Like this is just something I do. And yet worrying and giving way to anxiety is a sin against God. It's not trusting in the goodness of God. And I'm not saying that to like beat you over the head or make you feel worried about your worrying, but it is not what God wants for you. He wants you to be choosing to trust in him. So, you know, avail yourself of whatever resources you have access to. And that includes reading scripture, memorizing prayers that can really speak to this and reject that temptation toward worry and anxiety. All right. Those are my kind of practical spiritual ideas for ways to combat and overcome anxiety. Showing up in prayer, keep seeking, ask others to pray for you, give thanks, and reading the Psalms. But you might have some ideas. What works for you? How do you overcome anxiety in your life? In what ways have you found success? I'd love to share your ideas in a future episode of Girlfriend. So please reach out to me. You can email me, danielle@daniellebean.com, or connect with me on Voxer, or send me a voicemail. I'm Danielle Bean on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You definitely can find me. And I would love to have your feedback on this topic or anything else that we're talking about here on the podcast. All right, we've got more of the show that's coming up for you in just a minute, but first we're going to take a quick break. I'm Danielle Bean, and you're listening to the Girlfriends Podcast.
The most important person ever to walk the face of the earth, the source and summit of all things Catholic. But do we really know him? Hi, I'm Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio, sometimes known as Dr. Italy. For 30 years, I've taught about Jesus in Catholic university classrooms, on TV, and on radio. And I've been surprised at how Catholics, fascinated with so many of the unique features of the rich Catholic tradition, seem to take for granted the very basis of it all, the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Some other Catholic Bible teachers I know have noticed the very same problem. So Jeff Cavins, Dr. Edward Sri, and I decided to collaborate on a groundbreaking study that would focus simply on the life and teaching of Jesus Christ, filmed on location in the land where it all happened. Those who take this journey with us will learn amazing new things about the gospel stories they thought they knew so well, about his family, his friends, his enemies, his miracles. But even more importantly, they will come to know Jesus in a new and astonishing way that will make a surprising difference in their everyday lives. This study, Jesus, the Way, the Truth, and the Life, helps you learn with all your senses. The videos filmed on site in the Holy Land will change the way you visualize the gospel stories. The study guide includes gorgeous images, provocative quotes, illuminating maps, and challenging questions. The book that accompanies the study will have you riveted all the way to the end. Order the study pack now at ascensionpress.com/Jesus and get immediate at-home access to the videos and the study guide while the printed components are shipped to you. Again, you can order Jesus, the Way, the Truth, and the Life at ascensionpress.com/Jesus. You'll be glad you did. Your life will never be the same.
Welcome back. Now we're at the point in the show where I like to share some listener feedback. And this week I heard from Sarah on Voxer.
Hi, Danielle. I just listened to your latest podcast on Are We Ready to Have Another Baby? And it's funny because I was that lady at the Windsor conference that asked, how do you know when you're done? So I'm still discerning that with my husband. But anyways, in response to Catherine, I felt like I was in her position about 5 years ago. We had 3 children, and we had just had our 4th child in August, and our son before her got diagnosed with type 1 diabetes 2 months before she was born. And then when she was 6 months old, we found out we were pregnant. So we definitely felt like we were just drowning and we're overwhelmed, but it all works out, and it's tough and hard, and we added a puppy in there too, I believe, when the baby was 8 months old, so that was exciting too. But anyways, by God's grace, you get through it all, and looking back on photos, I think we were out to prove it to the world that we could do it, because we went on all these trips, and I don't exactly know how, because I wouldn't even do all those vacations now that we have 6 kids, so. But I will pray for Catherine, and I completely understand where she's at, and the breastfeeding part is hard, and sometimes your body just, I know my body stopped breastfeeding our baby at 8 months when I was pregnant with the other baby, and that was okay too. I had to let go of that piece of it, but I can completely relate to Catherine, so I just wanted to share. Have a blessed day.
Thank you so much for that, Sarah. You know, I love getting Voxes from people. So if you don't know what Voxer is, it's this fun app where you can leave voice messages for people. And if you want to connect with me to leave a voice message for me through Voxer, that link is always in the show notes over at ascensionpress.com. And Sarah, I love that I remember you. I remember when we met in Windsor, Colorado. And I love that you're sharing your story because that can be really encouraging to Catherine and anybody else who's kind of going through anxiety or mixed emotions about adding to their family, about having another baby. And how hilarious that you thought that was a good time to add a puppy to your family as well. But I think your sharing your story really gives witness to the fact that God gives us the grace. He calls us to really hard things sometimes, and they are hard. Nobody's saying they're not hard to do, but that he gives us the grace to respond to them. So you're really giving testimony to that. And I think that can be very encouraging to other people. And then also it's encouraging just to know that other people deal with similar issues, that these are common things that people go through sometimes. And sometimes you just want someone to relate. Like so many times as, you know, as we're connecting as girlfriends, it's like, you just want somebody to say like, I totally get it. Or, you know, I experienced something similar once too. Or that, you know, this is why the Me Too movement was so powerful, right? However it went off the rails politically, the Me Too movement at its core was just a beautiful thing of women connecting about something very difficult that was a shared experience. And that's a powerful thing that we can do as women, is sometimes that's the most powerful connection we make when someone shares vulnerably about something that they're dealing with and the other person responds, Me Too. That's how friendship is founded, that we can understand that these things that sometimes we might think that we're alone in them. I'm the only one who worries about this. I'm the only one who suffers in this particular way. I'm the only one who feels this way. Just being reminded, you're not the only one. And some details might be different, but a lot of our stories have similar themes. So this is such a very good point to be kind of focused on here in this particular episode, where we're focused on anxiety, where we're focused on worry, to know that you're not alone in it. Sometimes you just want someone who can relate and somebody who can understand what you're going through. It's not going to change what, you know, difficult thing God is calling you toward right now. And yet it can change completely how you feel about it and how you, the confidence you have kind of stepping into that. All right, we're almost out of time here for today's show, but I want to say, if you enjoy what we share here at Girlfriends, would you share it with a friend? Would you consider letting somebody know? Word of mouth is so powerful for us. So maybe just letting a friend know, maybe just texting the link to a friend or sharing it on your social media, or even more powerfully, leaving us a review, rating and review on Spotify or iTunes, wherever you listen to podcasts, can be a great way to let people know that you enjoy the podcast and help us expand our community of listeners here. That's so valuable. And I do read those reviews, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So I would be just honored if you would take just a moment and do that as a way of supporting Girlfriends. Thanks so much for considering that. And that's all the time we have for today, but I want to thank you for being here. I want to thank you for showing up for this episode of Girlfriends. I know you're busy. I know you've got a lot of things going on. So the fact that you make time to connect right here on the podcast just means the world to me. I'm so grateful for the gift of your presence here. Thank you for that. And until next time, I hope you enjoy your day and God bless your week. Girlfriends is a collaboration between DanielleBean.com and Ascension, the leader in Catholic faith formation.